Not to get too sentimental, but at Les Schwab Tires, we think there's nothing more beautiful than the changing of the seasons. Except, of course, the seasonal changing of the tires. So if the weather takes a turn and you find yourself in need of some all-season tires, well, you ought to know Les Schwab's having its biggest sale of the year. Head our way before the weather does, and we'll make sure you're good to go. Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Okay, Elliot, we're on private, so I'll edit this part out. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can, but it's breaking up a little bit, so let's just talk here for a second. What's your speed like today? On the internet,
again?
Is it looking good? Okay, now it's sounding better.
Now
it's sounding better. Now I think we're okay. So
okay,
right there at the beginning, we were breaking up, and I thought, uh-oh, we might have a speed problem today. But no, it's good to go. So the music's already played. All we're doing here is all of this conversation will be edited out. So what I want you to do is pretend like the music just finished. And then you are going to introduce your first show, and I want you to talk for a minute or two about your show, and then you're going to introduce me, and then I am going to interview you. And then you just follow my cue, my lead, through the rest of the show. Since we're on private, we don't have to worry about the phone number or anything today. We're just going to interview you about your upcoming show, what it's going to be about. We're going to learn a little bit about you, about who Elliot is, have some fun with it towards the end, and then we're going to air this show on Wednesday to promote your show on Monday. So does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
So let's say in 10 seconds you introduce yourself, your name, and then talk about your show name and what your show is going to be about, and say that you're excited to have the founder of the Coach on Fire Radio Network on. And we're going to talk about your upcoming shows and introduce me, and I will take it from there.
Okay, great.
And if you mess it up, don't worry. Since we're on private, we can redo it. Okay, so just like a video, if we have to do another tape, we can do it here. So once you go live, once you do a live show, that won't be the case. It's live radio, and if you mess it up, you mess it up. But here we can do it until we get it right. So, all right, let me count down from 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're on.
And welcome to Strategic Breakthrough Radio. This show is all about bringing you top entrepreneurs and strategists in the industry coming up to you with tips, advice, and of course, your Q&A section where you get to dial in, ask me, and ask the guests all about what does it take to get to the next level in your business, in what you want to do, and of course, we are with the Network Coach on Fire. My name is Elliot Kay, and I will be the host of Strategic Breakthrough Radio, and I'll be with you every 2 weeks. I am the founder of Strategic Brilliance Services, and my role is to help coaches, speakers, trainers, and entrepreneurs really get out there and use a strategy to effectively grow their business. That's what I do. I'm based in the UK. I'm based near London, a place called Woking, if you really want to know. But I'm 30 minutes outside of London in the train. and I have a mixed accent, but we won't talk about that right now, because what I want to do is really introduce you to the guests of my first show. And actually, we're doing a little bit of a reversal here. Normally, in the shows, I interview, but today I am being interviewed by the founder of Coach on Fire, Michael Brooks. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, Elliot, and it's an honor to have you on the Coach on Fire radio network. You're going to be a tremendous asset to the team. I am so excited about your show premiering next week with your first guest, and we'll be live on that show, so that will be really cool. People can ask you questions and call in if they're in North America, and very, very exciting to have you on board, and I'm actually kind of honored today because I get to do something that I do with a lot of the new hosts, and that's interview and find out all about Elliot. So I'm really excited about that, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So normally at this point I would crack the first question, but I'll hand the first question over to you.
Okay, Elliot. Thank you very much. Strategic Breakthrough Radio. Let's talk a little bit about that title because it's intriguing to me and kind of exciting. What do you mean when you say strategic breakthrough?
Good question. The reason, A, that's the name of the radio show, and B, of one of the courses we offer, is because we feel that a lot of people get inundated with information, and there's so much out there right now. Some of it hides under strategy, and it's not really strategy. So what I want to do is offer a very tangible collection of tactics which allows people to finally break through and understand what strategy will work in their business. Because while there's various many types of strategies, there tends to be one winning one that's right for them. And that's where the breakthrough lies.
Very cool. And how do you determine that on an individual basis? Is there a process you go through? Because everyone is different, and I find that in the things that I do over and above Coach on Fire Radio as well. Everyone learns at a different pace. Everyone has a different way, a different style or authenticity about them, if you will. So is there a process that you take people through that is more customized than a cookie-cutter approach, I guess is what I'm asking?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when I work with a lot of the people on strategy, I have an overall framework that we look at. And then within that, we look at what needs focus when. So I use something called strategy on a page. And that's your overall arching key areas of the business. So as well as looking at the purpose and the vision and your values, we do a lot of work on your market space, who is your ideal customer. And then we look at the five key areas of the business: sales, marketing, people, operations, and finances. And then within them, we look at what are the right tactics to get the results that people need according to where they are, you see. So that's how I work. So yes, it's tailor-made to the needs of people, but we have an overarching framework to follow. Because, yeah, otherwise it's just chaotic, and it's exactly why people are so confused. And most people get stuck in the sales and marketing aspect of a business and forget about the operations. They certainly don't get the right people in the business. And then, of course, it affects their finances. So my role is to look at the bird's eye overview of the business and make sure we're focusing at the right things at the right time. And I'd rather slow a business down than accelerate it for it to collapse.
Excellent. And let's talk a little bit about the difference between sales and marketing and operations. And let's distinguish that so we're very clear for our audience here on what you're talking about here.
Sure. So sales is the active of people parting and spending money with you. Yes. So it's the buying process. Why do people buy from you is marketing. That's your messaging. And that's basically showing your audience love. It's showing your ideal customer that you can solve their problem. So they hear about your messaging, marketing. They then choose to spend money with you, sales. And then operations is all the systems with behind that to enable the sales, to enable the marketing. How do you collect data? How do you collect payment? How do you keep in touch with your customer and keep them engaged? When you hire someone into the business, how do they know what to do? That's all operational side of the business. So if you take some burger chains out there in America or in the UK, you know, they're based on systems, so they don't need a high skill set. They can just have a quick turnover of people because the systems are so good. So if you think about it like that, you almost want what some of the burger bars have in your business, that your business is slick and runs on its own, and people just come in and operate it. That's a good way to understand operations.
And really, when you have good operations, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Elliot, when you have good systems or good operations, however you want to put it, it allows you, especially if you're running a passion and purpose-based business, to focus on what you love to do. For example, I love to, you know, interview people and create content and help people get noticed, be seen, and be heard. If I didn't have the proper systems in place, I would be struggling all the time wearing many different hats. And I know we all do, as, you know, as solopreneurs have to do that from time to time. But we have to surround ourselves with a team as well and the systems in place that allow us to have the business function and to focus on what we do best.
Right.
Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if when I work with a lot of, like you say, passion and purpose-based businesses, the first thing we always do with them is, what is the purpose of the business? And that breaks up into five key components, one of them being passion, one of them being opportunity, one of it being, what do you want to make? And of course, there's the lifestyle piece as well. And what's really important is for you to fulfill the passion piece of building the business. You've got to surround yourself with the correct people. And those people have to be able to operate the business to allow you to do what you're passionate about. So you're really spot on with that. Now, of course, there's challenges around that, understandably so. But that's what you're aiming for. So within 18 months of working with myself, we would look to bring in one or two people, because all you do is the passion piece of your business, because that's how the business will grow. If you start to get stuck in doing, you know, all the other areas as well, which mainly a lot of solopreneurs do or small businesses do, that's when you end up burnt out, no time, you lose your motivation. And of course, you end up broke as well, because you're spread so thin that you're not actually growing the business. You're actually stifling the business. And we look at the strategies around that. Yeah, it's essential that you get the right people in the business, and it's essential that you get the right systems in your business. Of course, being the network that we are, and we have a lot of coaches out there, and a lot of coaches just don't think like that to begin with. Hence Strategic Breakthrough, the understanding that if I get some good systems in my business, if I just get one person in the business to take away what I don't like, whether it's booking sessions or the admin side, it means you gain 8 hours a week that you can do more sessions, then you get a greater income. Then you're able to do more impactful work, do what you're passionate about, and start to grow and scale the business. So all you're doing is what you're passionate about. But it takes time.
It does indeed take time. A lot of people have spent years becoming an overnight success.
Exactly, yeah. It takes 10 years to be an overnight success.
That's not just in our business with coaching or online mentoring or the online expertise or even just, you know, general, you know, brick and mortar entrepreneurs. I hear that from people all the time, that it took me years to become an overnight success. It might look in the media or look like someone is an overnight success, but that is rarely the case. So excellent point, Elliot. I know also you have a really, really fascinating and intriguing story. And I want to delve into that a little bit here and how you evolved to be doing what you're doing today and helping hundreds of online business owners and entrepreneurs make their strategic breakthroughs. I want to talk a little bit about that story because, you went from kind of despair to triumph. And let's talk a little bit about that. And let's just hear a little bit about Elliot's story because it is so inspiring and I think a lot of people can relate.
Oh, thank you very much. When people ask me that, I think it's sometimes a sad but happy fact that almost to be a successful entrepreneur, you've had to have hardship. It's not a must, but, I guess I fall into that category. So what happened to me, it's 2010, it was the end of the year 2010, and I had a really good month in my business. It was steady, even that whole year was pretty steady. I had a fair amount of clients. I was working with some corporate clients. I was doing well, really, really well. And then I did, looking back, it was what I needed to do. But in hindsight, I could have done it differently. But because I'd had such a good month, I packed up my suitcase and I went to Australia, followed a girl I was in love with. You know, there's always a woman, isn't there? That you do.
I always is. Yes, always a woman involved.
and again, looking back, hands up, she didn't make me. It was my deluded self that thought that it'd work out. So I went to Australia. We spent New Year's Eve there. We were going to spend a month there anyway. And within 2 weeks, I'd practically lost everything. All my clients I was coaching decided that they had finished and they're ready to fly, which is what you want as a coach. Also, my investment that I put into property here in the UK had crashed, so I had the bank wanting their money. The corporate clients I had refused to pay me, and I lost my love that I was never really with to a billionaire. So this billionaire came along and he offered her a job, and she just said, "Look, I'm not going to have any time for you, so move on." And I was like, just completely devastated, watching everything crumble around me, the other side of the world. And it was the most painful thing that I'd experienced, even though, by the way, Michael, when I was a lot younger, I'd suffered sexual abuse and I dealt with that. And, this felt far more painful than that. Now, the line was, I found myself on a cliff in Australia, on Sydney Beach. It's between Coogee Beach and Bondi Beach for the Australians out there. And I just found myself looking down at this water, wondering, how did I end up here? Why me? The typical, I'm a good guy, I do good things, I'm a coach, I'm making this world a better place. And I'm absolutely in victim mode. And I was in a lot of pain. And then I just knew that, I either go home with my tail between my legs, or I have to make this work. And it's that really kind of the must, the have to. And I know the cognitive behavioral hypnotherapist and hypnotherapists out there will be like, well, it's not the right language. But that's how I felt at the time. I needed to really step up. And what I mean by step up is really make this work. And if it didn't work out then I could hold my head high and said, you know what? I've thrown everything at this and it didn't work. But that wasn't the case. I came back to the UK completely in bits and I just immersed myself in really truly understanding the detail, not the hype, not the Hollywood notion of building a business, not the just set a goal and it will happen side. What are the different strategies? What's the nitty gritty of running the business? What is the detail of doing that? And that's what I did. And then we launched, as a result of that, I launched a seminar called Power to Succeed, taking all the learnings. And because I knew if I should truly do that, I had to work on myself on the inside as well as the strategy stuff. And yeah, when we launched Power to Succeed, that grew very quickly. Within 3 years, it became a known seminar in the UK. It's now the name of my book. We don't run Power to Succeed anymore. And I have now I can say, I met a beautiful woman after that. I'm married to her. It's our 1 year anniversary, literally today as we're recording this. I've turned it all round. I now run I run two businesses, but I've got three. We're shutting one down because it doesn't work anymore. And that's how we did it. And, you know, this weekend we just finished our two-day seminar, Strategy Intensive, and showing people that actually strategy can do just as much for your life as confidence coaching, as any type of coaching, because when you see the how, your confidence goes up. And that's a little bit, a tiny bit of my story in a nutshell. Otherwise, Michael, we're going to be here all day, you know? we can
yes, and,
we'll have a,
and, and your show, Elliot, will. And by the way, congratulations on your anniversary. That's absolutely awesome.
Thank you.
And I know that that your lovely wife is also pregnant with your first child. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's less than 3 months now.
Nice.
Yeah, very,
very
excited
nice.
About we're going to have a little girl, so we're excited about that.
Little girl, also you already know the sex. That's awesome. A little girl,
yeah.
That will be adorable for sure. And your lovely wife's name is?
My lovely wife's name is Emily.
Emily,
and
okay.
It is a little bit of, sometimes I feel like it's a little bit of a Beauty and the Beast type story. My wife being the Beast and I'm the Beast. No, I'm kidding. You know, I do feel at times that, you know, because she is so beautiful.
Why do they not the things to say on your anniversary, Elliot?
I'm only joking.
I know you are.
That actually, no, I sometimes feel, because she is so beautiful and she's so loving, that there is a little, and I'm not a beast, obviously, but, you know, it's that kind of like, wow, I've got this amazing woman. And it's just, I feel sometimes like, a little bit like the Beauty and the Beast type story, that I managed to attract such an incredible woman in my life. But it took, it took me to work a lot on myself to get that. And and so I'm very blessed now. And we since launching the strategy business, which is now over 12 months old, and changing from the coaching side of things, which is what I used to do with Power to Succeed, we've grown this business in 1 year what it took us 3 years with Power to Succeed. And that we just feel very blessed that we're able to do that. And it's a proof, you know, it's proof that what I do works. I'm also a commercial director on a public speaking company, and that's growing as well. And we're looking to expand that and scale that. And, you know, it's all, and now I look back and go, thank God that happened to me that day on the cliff, because I think I probably would have walked around deluded for a bit longer. You know, and thought I had a business and thought I was really, truly making money, when I realized actually that when everything went wrong, I didn't have a sales funnel. My marketing wasn't really there. You know, I had zero operation in my business. I never looked at the numbers because I just was thinking like a self-employed kind of guy that went, oh, I got paid, I'll pay myself. Oh, I've got money, I'll do this. Versus, you know, strategizing around money as well. So here I am today with you on Coach on Fire, helping to ignite
cool.
the world of coaching.
I know you came, Coach on Fire has evolved to a point where you almost need a recommendation to get in as a host anymore, and you came highly recommended, and it's been a pleasure being with you as we're getting started here with the show. But before I go on, Elliot, I want to make sure that we let the audience know where they can find out more about your book and your programs and what you're doing now. So can you give us your website and contact info?
Sure.
Social media.
Yeah, of course. So the website currently that we've got, we are developing the ElliotK.com one, but that's not live. We have StartupStrategyToday.co.uk. So that's StartupStrategyToday.co.uk. And that's gives more information about what I do, and you can just fill in the form there and send us a message. Now on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, it's all the same. So it's Elliot K PTS, all my names. So that's ELLIOTKAY and the letters PTS for Power to Succeed. So that's Elliot K PTS, and that's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find me on Snapchat under Elliot Coach 6. That will be changing soon, but in the meantime, you can do that. And feel free to tweet me. Now, Power to Succeed isn't available publicly yet. the book, but I'm sure we can find different ways to get it out to you listeners. I'll think creatively. It's a physical book, and once we launch ElliotK.com, you'll be able to purchase it from there. Right now, you can't purchase it online yet. You can get my first book, because I've written three, called It's Your Right to Be Wrong, and that's on Amazon. You can get that on Amazon. So that's how you get in touch with me. And throughout the shows, when I'm live, you know, we'll be using Twitter and Facebook for everybody to ask me questions, to ask my guest questions. We do have a mystery guest coming up next week. I haven't disclosed who it is yet, but you just wait, because I will have nothing but high quality, top quality people who are out there. And, you know, if there's someone you feel that should be on my show, feel free to tweet me a suggestion, because I'm always open to listening and hearing more about it. And also, Michael, we own a hashtag. So if you really want to get in touch with me, use hashtag strategy intensive, because that's our hashtag.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Strategy intensive. Very cool. Hashtag strategy intensive. And, and of course, to find all of the shows on the Coach on Fire Radio Network, you can use the hashtag Coach on Fire Radio. And that will bring up all of the shows from all of our awesome hosts. And I think that's a good segue, Elliot, into... Let's talk a little bit about, you touched on it here briefly, but let's talk a little bit about your vision on what your show is going to be doing and why the listeners should tune in over the coming weeks as we start and we premiere on the 19th, and then we'll go every 2 weeks after that. But let's talk a little bit about your vision and what's going to be happening on the show so we can give the listeners something to look forward to.
Of course. Well, my vision for the show is I want this show, Strategic Breakthrough Radio, I want it to be the go-to place for coaches, trainers, speakers, consultants, entrepreneurs to be a hub of information. Every 2 weeks, I'm going to provide, you know, cutting-edge tools and strategies, and have guests who will give you tangible tools that you can implement. And I want it to be fun, of course, and I want it to be a dialogue between us and the listeners. I want it to be interactive, but what I want it to become is the number one show for strategy that connects people globally, so everybody can have this, can have access to this tool. That's my vision for the show, and that's why when I saw the ad for it, you know, I was literally thinking, oh, do I want to do a radio show again? Because I did it years ago, but I thought, you know what? I've got a vision for this. I want to get the word of strategy out there. I want people to understand strategy and not be scared of it, and I want to work globally. And this is one step towards that. I've already spoken internationally in various countries, and that's my vision for the show. So help this vision make happen, and tune in next week when we go live at 7 p.m. at GMT or 2 o'clock EST. See?
Yeah, 2 o'clock EST, and I'm in the United States, and we are truly a global network. We have hosts like Elliot from the U.K. and Australia. And let's touch on that a little bit, at least from an online perspective, Elliot. One of the things I think when I started this network that I probably did not anticipate was how global it would be, how interest from all over the world, from almost the moment I put it out there, developed, and almost any program that I'm doing since is, you know, gets people from all over the world. And I don't think 10 years ago it would have been that way with most businesses. So we're now truly in a global economy like we've never seen before, especially in the digital world. And that makes those systems so much more important, because you're dealing with time zones and things of that sort. And how do you help people navigate the new global economy, if you will?
The way to do that is, number one, you've got to stay on top of things. But I think what's really important is to stay on top of things within the space you are in. And that's where really understanding your ideal client and your customer is important. Because a lot of people buy into what they think is out there, which actually they end up spending lots of money on, which doesn't work in their business. So the way I stay on top of things is I keep an eye on trends and I keep an eye on what's happening. I'm what is known as a slightly late adopter. because I'll watch to see how things develop, and then I'll pull it into our strategy. But I'm not the person at the front that's always buying the new. Until it proves to me that it's going to stick around for a while, then I won't buy into it. So the way to do it, and to any listener out there, is to become like an eagle, right? and see things from above and really see how things develop. And then when the time's right, you go and you pull it in. And that's how I suggest, because especially in this day and age, things come and go so quickly. And by them going so quickly, you can often spend a lot of time in something that becomes very out of date very quickly. So the way I do it is I keep an eye on, I see what's working, I look at the numbers, I look at the data. When there's a proof of concept, then I go in for it.
Okay, that's very good, very cool. Are you seeing any current trends that might enlighten our audience that
they might
be aware of yet?
Yeah, there's a couple. I mean, I'll just talk about how Snapchat is completely changing and becoming a massive brand extension for people. I know some people are going, what's Snapchat? Isn't that for teenagers to send naughty pictures? It's changed a lot. And it's fascinating to see now how many brands are now buying into Snapchat and actually how it's becoming a great tool for people to follow you, to get to know you. Because of the story feature, a lot of businesses are using that so people can really get a feel for the brand. And that's been interesting because that's only really started to happen for me, where I've noticed in the last, you know, let's say 8 months. And it's only been shifting in the last, you know, year that it's moved from what is known as sexting to being an actual genuine tool for marketing. So if you haven't checked out Snapchat, I don't get paid, I'm not endorsing it, it's worth doing. But of course, like anything, you need to do consistent to create a following. I mean, some people I know, they've got 20,000 people to watch their story a day. Just think what that would do for your brand, you know? And like one of my colleagues, she's amazing. I'll probably interview her at some point. Katya, you know, she gets thousands of people daily watching her online via Snapchat. And I think it's a really good way to create brand awareness. I wouldn't use it to sell, but definitely to raise your awareness. So there's one that's definitely one of them that I would talk about.
That's a very cool one. And let's talk a little bit about Snapchat. Let's go into exactly what it is and how you can use it for. I mean, I'm a big believer. I have everyone do their bios in story formats and things like that in story. So let's go through first what specifically is Snapchat for people that don't know, because it is a little bit different than all the other social media out there. And then give me an example of how you might do it to create, use it to create awareness for your brand in a story type of situation.
Sure. So Snapchat, basically, you take a picture and you send it to someone, and then once it's viewed, it's gone. Yeah. So I think there's like 5 seconds, 8 seconds, 12 seconds that people can look. And then once you've seen it, you can't look at it again. That's if you send it directly. It's the same with videos. You can film a very short video, send it to someone, and once it's viewed, it's gone. Equally, you can do the same with images and videos and create a story. So you can choose to send it to people, but you can just put it on your story. It's literally called story. So the way you would use Snapchat for brand awareness is you would show what a day in the life looks like. You know, let's say, what does the day look like on Coach on Fire? You know, so Michael might film going, hey, I'm just about to do an interview with a potential host. And then he might just, while we're filming, you know, do a little video of what's going on. And then he'll talk a little bit about, yo, that was a great interview. That was amazing. Look, if you're interested, snap me back. And then throughout the day, and then he might just go, here I'm meeting with one of the hosts. This is da-da-da, say hello, snappers. And what you do is people get a little piece of your life if you choose to show it. What's great about Snapchat as well is it has all these filters. So it can change your face, it can change your voice. You can really do a lot to make it fun and funky, which adds another element to your brand. I know people that every day they share, you know, tips. Every day they're like, here's my motivational tips of the day. And the good thing is, if I was to follow Michael, for example, on Snapchat, is I can go and watch his story and I'll watch a piece of his life and he'll give me 10 tips a day. So every day I'll watch his story to find out the tips. But once that 24 hours is over, that story's gone. And that's how it's different from a lot of other social media outlets out there.
Right, and that's what distinguishes it from, say, Instagram or Twitter or anything else is how
exactly.
You can you do that. And the criticism I hear on Snapchat is, and you alluded to this, is the demo. That's the demographic. Being skewed extremely young. So we're talking about trends here. Are you seeing that demographic change? For example,
absolutely.
Many coaches are not going to be dealing with people in the 18 to 24 age group. They're dealing with people, millennials, you know, probably from 30 plus into the early boomers into, you know, 55. So are you seeing in your experience with Snapchat that the trend is skewing at least upward? In
the UK, yes, definitely in the UK, I'm seeing a massive shift. If I look at who follows me and who's on my stories and who watches them, the demographic is much higher than that. You're looking at 30 plus, a lot from Australia, funnily enough, and you're seeing a lot more adults on it. Yes, there's still a young demographic, but, you know, you're seeing people like Gary Vaynerchuk completely dominate Snapchat and completely, you know, he, for example, he was in the UK recently and he used pretty much Snapchat the whole time and he would send a snap out just to say, hey guys, I'm going to be in Oxford Street, come and meet me. And 300 people showed up to meet him. That will show you that the demographic is changing.
Yeah, definitely shows you the demographic is changing. That is very, very cool. And I thank you for that trend and that tip, Elliot, because I think that's something in our industry and with our audience that a lot of people have been holding back on. And the reason they've been holding back on it is they've read, you know, in the past that the demographic is just too young to be used effectively for the type of ideal client that our industry uses here. So
yeah,
very, very cool. Very, very cool. Okay, Elliot, in our last few minutes here, this is my part. This is the fun part of the show for me because it's everything that not only I, but I think our audience might want to know about Elliot. And I get to ask you a series of questions that you have no idea that are coming that are going to kind of create a Snapchat of Elliot, so to speak. and certain questions here. So we're going to kind of create on audio, on the radio here, kind of a Snapchat of Elliot. And my first question is, what is the best book you've read in the last 6 months that you would recommend?
The best book I read in the last 6 months I would recommend would be The Next 100 Years. And you're going to ask me the author, and I can't remember. It's George Freeman or something.
Okay.
The Next 100 Years. I think it's a brilliant look at the socioeconomics as well as the geopolitical structure of the globe. Check it out. It's absolutely fascinating, and you'll understand a lot more why things are going the way they're going in this world. So The Next 100 Years.
Okay, and... have you seen a favorite movie in the last few months?
Favorite movie in the last few months? Oh, which is the one that's jumping to mind? Nothing's jumping to mind because I haven't been to the cinema recently. But I will tell you, just generally in terms of a favorite movie, has got to be the Bourne trilogies, the old ones with Matt Damon. Love those films.
I could watch them again and again.
Bourne
franchise, yes. And don't they have a new one coming out? Or they just released the
new
one now? Very cool. The Bourne franchise is very, very cool.
Yeah.
If
they do have a new one.
Go ahead. Yeah, they do have a new one coming out. If I were to ask Emily what one quirk you had that she found adorable, what would that be?
Oh, I have so many, Michael. Do I have to choose one?
Okay, I'll choose one or two.
The quirk that she finds adorable is probably how bad I tell jokes and think they're funny. I think, you know, I really think that she finds it adorable when I think a joke's funny and it's not. She says, oh, there you go with your daddy jokes. You're so cute. So I think that's the one thing she finds adorable, and the quirk. I'll go with that one because I think it kind of makes me look or sound good. Yeah, let's go with that one.
And one thing she would find embarrassing?
Probably my joke telling at the same time when I do it publicly.
Okay.
Let me think what else she would find embarrassing. I think that's it. I think she finds it adorable when it's between us, and I think she finds it embarrassing when I do it in public and I tell my terrible jokes. Yes. So it's a double-edged thing.
A double-edged thing. If I or anyone was to, you know, visit the UK, what is the one non-touristy place you would take them that you find special in your country?
The one interesting place I would take them in our country? Wow.
Yes.
There's so many. But one thing I would do, and I do with everybody that comes, I will show them the view of London at night because it's absolutely breathtaking. Yeah, and I would make sure that they saw it from the bridges standing on the Thames around Waterloo, but also I'll take them to a high place where they can see the whole of London because I find that breathtaking. And,
yes,
you know,
and I did that last time I was in London 4 years ago. And it just happened to, be spectacular weather-wise, and we did do that. It is spectacular. I agree with you 100%. That's a very, very cool choice, Elliot.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
One thing that most people don't know about you. Give me one thing that most people don't know about you.
One thing that people don't know about me is I was trained the same performance school as one of the Spice Girls.
Which one?
Baby Spice.
So
the college I went to, college in the UK, not college in the US, it's slightly different. College that I went to, she was a year above me. And just towards the end of her year, she signed for the Spice Girls. So a lot of people don't know that. Unfortunately, no, I'm not in touch with her. And I can't get your signature, and so no. just want to tell people up front. But I was at college with her.
I know that I met in L.A. because she's hanging out in L.A. most of the time now because she's doing the voiceover here as Mel B., another Spice Girl. And I've run into her a couple of times. She's pleasant. So, but she's hanging out in the USA these days because I guess she can make more money over here or something. And she's actually one of the Voice USA, not Voice UK, one of the Voice USA judges right now. So, not the Voice.
I see.
She on the Voice? No, I think she's on a show called America's Got Talent or something like that. Another Simon franchise, and we all know Simon from our two countries. So,
yes, exactly.
He's always doing something, you know. What an amazing producer he is.
I'd love to interview him.
I would love to interview Simon. But he's so, acoustic. He's, very short. I mean, he would be a difficult interview, but he would be fascinating. Simon couldn't have done what he did without having the proper systems in place. And quite literally, it is a franchise. He basically packages what he does and then exports it around the world in the same format with just different countries. So, so he's created a system. In fact, if you watch, for example, The Voice South Africa, the same theme song and everything, and then he licenses it to those countries. And that licensing system allows him to create a global brand. And I think a lot of people just think that, the shows like The Voice are, UK-centric or United States-centric. But no, they are quite literally around the world, and Simon gets royalties off of all of that and licenses it, and an incredible system that he's developed to duplicate what he originally started in the UK and then exported to the United States, and now he's turned it into a global thing. But he couldn't have done that without having those proper systems in place, correct?
Yeah, and the thing is, what Simon does very, very cleverly is he's the best, he'll never say, he's the best number two. And what do I mean by that? He will watch what people are doing, what shows are out there, and then he will see how he can make them better, then he'll license and franchise them.
That's exactly what he does.
That's and that's what he did with the X Factor, because there was, obviously there's American Idol, there was, UK Idol, there was Star in Their Eyes at the time, and then he just went, right, how can I make this even better? And then he did that. So, and that's what he does very cleverly, and that's what he's done throughout his career. He's not the original, but he'll watch the originals and improve that.
He'll take an innovation or two and create basically the same show with a twist, and then give it another name. And so he's an innovator in that he'll just try to create a better mousetrap. And, for example, when he left Idol to do X Factor, he created, some more audience participation in kind of a different way of doing it, incorporating social media and getting an even younger demographic in order to go there. So he's constantly imagining new ways to do things with an older, with an older concept. Everything he does is based on the old British and American Idol. He just does it in a different way and says, okay, what if we do this or what if we do that? And, and another great individual that did something like that that I've studied quite extensively is Walt Disney. Did the exact same type of thing. They would get their systems in place and then they would say, okay, what if we did this? And then they would make a twist and it might not have been new, but they would do it, in a bigger, better, different type of way that made it successful. Very, very cool.
Very cool.
Okay. All right. So there's a good tip for us. And now let's get back to what other questions do I have for you here for fun? Okay. Guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure is lounging on the couch watching Netflix on my days off.
I do that too, actually. Favorite show on Netflix?
Currently?
Yeah, whatever. Favorite show that you've seen on Netflix. How about that?
They never go away. Exactly. My overall favorite show was Sons of Anarchy. I loved Sons of Anarchy. Second, I would say Suits, and then Narcos is my current one that I'm watching and love and can't wait to get through. So my guilty pleasure a lot of time is me watching a whole series in like a day. That's my guilty pleasure.
I've done that too.
Haven't done that with Narcos yet, but that's what I'm watching right now.
I did that with the newest season of Orange is the New Black. Last weekend, I think. So I think I watched the entire season in one weekend.
It's easily done. Yeah.
It really is. Favorite British food?
Ooh, that's tough because actually a lot of my favorite food isn't British, but I'm going to go with a Sunday roast. Is my favorite British food. Good meat, good roast, nice gravy. I'm going to go with that.
That's interesting because one of our other UK hosts said that exact same answer.
They're clearly very clever people.
They must be. Well, I think that gives us a good snap chat of Elliot and learning a little bit about him here. We're just about to close. Do you have any final thoughts, Elliot? And I'm excited about your show appearing at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 Eastern, Strategic Breakthrough Radio. I am really, really honored to have you as a new host on our network. It is just so exciting to be working with someone of your caliber, and I'm just thrilled to death. Any final thoughts before we close, and we'll come back with a bang and a mystery guest live next week at 7 on Monday?
Final thoughts? Yeah. My final thoughts are always this. Stay focused, stay hungry, stay strategic. That's my final thoughts.
Thank you, Elliot. It's been an honor. You can end and wrap the show.
Okay.
Say something, Elliot.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
Not to get too sentimental, but at Les Schwab Tires, we think there's nothing more beautiful than the changing of the seasons. Except, of course, the seasonal changing of the tires. So if the weather takes a turn and you find yourself in need of some all-season tires, well, you ought to know Les Schwab's having its biggest sale of the year. Head our way before the weather does, and we'll make sure you're good to go. Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing matters.